Trent Condon. Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Score. This is Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station. 106.3 KXNO.
All righty, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Miller and Condon here on a Monday, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. It's Trent Condon and Ken Miller talking sports with you for the next couple of hours. Appreciate you tuning in here this morning on MLK Day. Appreciate the fact that for those of you who have the day off, that you're willing to spend a couple of hours with us. We will talk to those of you who are working away here today, as we will too, for the next couple of hours, if we call it that. Anyways, BMW Des Moines guest list shapes up like this. We will start at the bottom of the hour. Scott Dockerman back from vacation. We will look back at yesterday's win over Maryland. This is apparently the week that we will hear from the football program. We'll hear if Doc is on the same page with that. He'll join us at the bottom of the hour. At 12:15 or thereabouts, we'll take a look at the Chiefs with our friend Nick Athan, primetimesportstalk.com for Nick. He owns that site. Doing very well, so happy for him that he's having that success. And then Nick Olson on Iowa State. Yes, their winning streak is no longer intact, but boy, oh boy, that was a fun game in Lawrence over the weekend. And ready or not, here comes Texas and Tyrese Hunter tomorrow in front of a sold-out crowd. ESPN Plus again has the Cyclones game. How are you, brother?
Pretty good. Yeah, long weekend with the in-laws all in town. Had a good time. Was able to...
Your nose is growing.
No, we did.
You really did?
Yes, absolutely. Able to sneak away Saturday, watch the second half of the Iowa State game at my local pub, so that was nice to do.
No, give him a plug. What is your local pub?
The Valley Pub.
Is that in Valley Junction?
It's not. It's EP True.
Yeah.
And Mill Civic, like that intersection, that area, that little strip mall there. Yeah. Yeah, just right around the corner from my house, literally right around the corner from my house. And yeah, it's my little, and it's just a little end.
Do they have Stella on tap?
No Stella on tap. They have Coors Light. Yeah, that's the only domestic, and that's the domestic that I drink. So,
well, it works for you.
Makes it a little bit better. But they had the Iowa State game on the television because I was watching the first half. You know, I had nephews and nieces run around. And it was a little crazy. So I'm just watching the game on my phone. And at halftime, Tara said, take Dad out. He wants to have a beer. So we went there, had a couple of drinks, and
was able to watch
exactly. I watched the second half of the game, which I was not anticipating that they'd have it on. So that was pretty cool, and being able to actually watch it on a television.
Those were the days,
yeah,
Trent.
I know. You remember back in the day when we used to watch sporting events on televisions?
Seems so long ago. Well, we'll watch one tonight, Monday Night Football. Mr. Monday Night will be here. It's a Chamber of Commerce day as far as weather for this game tonight. No wind, no rain, temperatures in the 60s, maybe upper 50s at some point during the game, but Wild Card Weekend, which has been incredibly entertaining. It really has. Not profitable by any means for a lot of us out there, but for some of you, I hope it was. But unbelievable entertainment. But let's start with the basketball before we go forward. Mm-hmm. I thought that Caleb Grill, at the very end, forgot where he was.
Yeah.
Because you're not getting that call.
Right.
As you go up and try and hit the game winner, and God knows, I'm guessing that if you didn't grow up a Kansas fan, he made that shot in his driveway a gazillion times, right? To beat Kansas at the buzzer, and he had an opportunity to do so, but you're not going to get fouled. And it looked, at least that looks to me, he went up kind of disjointed, looking for contact. It didn't come. The shot was close. But look, him and Robert Jones, they were just bad offensively. And combined 2 for 16 for both of those two guys. Kalshua was Kalshua. Osuni was unbelievable in that game. I thought that was his best game as a Cyclone on the biggest stage that they'd played on so far this year. And the foul trouble that he was in, fouling out when he did. Osuni. Man, oh man! If he would have been able to stay in the game, you just wonder. But you know what? Second straight year,
down
right
the
at the buzzer, they got a chance.
Well, that says a lot about Iowa State. I think this can increase now our conversation of last week. We're just dipping our toe in, dreaming what could be. Right? Can this team contend for a regular season crown?
Mm-hmm.
Looks like it. You go to Kansas and you play like that. You absolutely can compete at the highest level of your league. Now, that means probably going at minimum, 15-5?
But yeah, boy, if they're going to compete for the
top. You play like that, and you serve court at home.
Yeah.
Boom. Run through that.
Yeah.
And then you look at the rest of the road games, and can you find four more road victories on there? It's a real possibility.
I think they're going to have to find a couple more than that because there's going to be a couple of losses, I think, coming up at Hilton. I don't think that they get through one skate. The league's too tough. There's too much parity.
But that's in order to do it, to win a regular season crowd and play Chase in Kansas. But most importantly, it's about playing here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just that opportunity to be a top four seed and be a protected team at home. Kansas will probably be in a different bracket, but remember, they can still play here also.
They can.
But those are the two teams. Oh, that ticket price.
We've
seen Kansas here before.
Yeah.
And that year where we had...
Are you home? I know you're gone the beginning of the week. Are you home for the Thursday, Friday?
I will be, yes. I get back. We get back sometime on Wednesday. So we'll be...
So are we a Friday, Saturday? I mean, a Thursday, Saturday?
Thursday, Saturday.
Thursday, Saturday. Gotcha. Yeah.
So we'll be part of... In fact, might be the opening game, right? Might be right here at Des Moines, the first tip-off. Very well could be here.
You know who
so
has
clear.
A suite, don't you? And I'm guessing that there'll be an opportunity for at least one of us partake. Circa and Wild Rose have split a suite.
Oh, nice.
I'm not saying that I'm not politicking for
sure, absolutely.
But Palm's going to be here, and I mean, I don't know. It just would make some sense. So I was going to say, if you're not getting back, you might try and get back.
Uh-huh. No, we're getting back Wednesday, so I'll be good to go, ready and rare, and we'll see if, I don't know.
And
I got to
think those planes are going to be full, because if we're a Thursday, if you're getting here on a Wednesday.
Oh, that's a good call, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, people coming in to town that'll be making their way there. And yeah, if we'll be coming back from Orlando. I don't even know what our connection flight is or anything like that, but yeah, maybe picking up a few people, some fans on the way.
I would think,
And I'll try to get some shut-eye on the way home. And
yeah, good luck.
We're raring to go then right after that. Oh, man. I mean, just looking forward to the NCAA tournament and the possibility. Yeah, it's been cool when we had Kansas. Mm-hmm. Minnesota, Michigan State. That was really cool. Mm-hmm. I remember.
By the way, Michigan State, Purdue coming up in 2.5 hours.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yes, absolutely.
I didn't know that until I turned on the TV today.
Yeah, we got Villanova, Georgetown tipping off right now.
Yeah.
And of course,
it's unreal.
Take Georgetown in the first half. There's one for you.
Boy,
they're bad.
I mean, what's the losing streak against Power 5 teams? I mean, it's ridiculous.
They haven't won a conference game. Georgetown. I mean, think of how you and I know Georgetown.
Yes.
This isn't, I don't know, some slappy out, right?
No.
This is a Rutgers.
This is a team that's got some history.
They have not won a conference game since they won the conference tournament a couple of years back. 0-4 last year, 0-4 this year. Last time they won a game in conference was a conference championship that they had no business winning and found a way.
Well, it's been a long time since they've done any more winning since then. So Iowa State has a chance without a doubt. You know what? I want to bring up Watson because this kid's light. Damarian Watson, his minutes keep going up, and every single one of them has been deserved. He's really starting to catch on to this Big 12 brand of basketball, which is great to see because they all do it. Freshmen, I'm referring to, do it. You know, there's not usually a cookie cutter. Mm-hmm. You know, after four games, they're all into it. Everybody's different, right? He's really coming on. Without a doubt, he's coming on. Kelscher is playing out of his mind right now. He's on a real heater. He's making all of these shots, which is great to see. But you're not going to get a 1 out of 8 of Robert Jones, and you know damn well that the Caleb Grill, 1 of 8, 6 of which for behind 3. Mm-hmm. Trent, he hit that shot in his driveway a gazillion times. I'll guarantee it was dark outside, and he's getting called to come in when he's a little kid, right? And he's taking that last shot to beat Kansas, a team he didn't particularly care for him, and it just wouldn't fall.
Had to look.
He had a look. Yep. Had a look. But just for whatever reason, just couldn't find it. Well, you know, there is a reason. Fog Allen Fieldhouse, a pretty big reason.
Those ghosts, they're always there.
There they are. They really are. Have you been to a game there?
I have.
And is it as good as everybody says?
Better.
Is that right?
It's
such
a cool experience.
So regardless of how high your expectations are, they will surpass them.
I walked in there. It was a Sunday night game.
Sunday night game?
They were playing Arizona. This would have been 2007 range, something like that, 6-7, something like that. So I went down for Thanksgiving to visit my dad, who lives down in Oklahoma. On the way back, stopped and watched Bedlam. That was on that Saturday.
Yeah.
And then stayed over there, drove out of town a ways, and got back up. And I'm like,
what did you pay for a ticket to Bedlam that year? Do you remember?
$30.
That's cheap.
Yeah, it was good. I was happy with that. Got to be first game ever in Norman. And just kind of experienced it, you know, walked around a little bit and talked to some people, went to the game, and then got on the road afterwards. And then I'm making my way through, and I'm like, all right, and kind of had that decision. Do I make it all the way to Des Moines, drive through? At that time, I think I had like, I don't know, 6.5 hours left. Well, I saw Arizona and Kansas were playing. I'm like, well, I'll stop. It was like a 5 o'clock game, something weird like that. I get into Lawrence. It was like 3:30. Find a spot decently close to the arena. Just walked around to see, can I scalp? Yeah, I scalped for $10. It was way up there, but you'd think, you know, a November Arizona-Kansas game, this has got to be pretty big, right? Really, what? I mean, it was full, but it wasn't kind of the pomp and circumstance around it. But the environment was so cool. The building, it's just unbelievable.
Did you walk around inside the building? Remember when Holly Rowe took us on a tour a couple years ago?
And there were things in there like, oh, I didn't see that. I wish I would have checked that out more, you know, those kind of things. Right. But I've been in there. It's been a long time. And definitely need to get back for an Iowa State-Kansas game now, too.
Mm.
That building's charge up. They know the Cyclones are coming to town.
Yeah.
It's a good basketball rivalry. It really is.
It's become one, really. And, there's no doubt.
And Iowa State has earned, I think, the respect of Kansas fans for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are they competing for national championships?
No, not yet.
Kansas program's a different level than Iowa State. But what they have done, how well they've played in Lawrence, and, of course, the wins that they've got against them here over the last, decade plus now, definitely, I think, has earned the respect of a lot of the Kansas fans out there. They're still, of course, the loudmouths.
Sure.
They're always going to be there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, both sides.
Right. That's true.
I mean, I watched an old man try and pick a fight with Bill Self.
We saw it.
Anyways. Iowa yesterday. It was, there was never a point. Well, let me ask you, was there a point you thought, I mean, it got close a couple of times. I just thought that Iowa had the game in hand for the most part from the jump.
8-0 run to start the second half. So the 10-point lead. And even at that point,
that would have been it. That would have been the one you're thinking, oh, you're getting crawl a little bit close to the edge of your seat.
And Concern never really jumped around.
No.
They're just better, right?
Yeah.
Maryland's the 11th best team in the Big Ten, and Iowa's the 8th. And they're just at home. They're just better. That's kind of watching it all play out. No surprise. Now,
there were two surprises in the game, though.
Tony Perkins.
That was one of them. I thought Ulis was the other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was competent,
yep,
right?
He was playing
the role that he was meant to play. Mm-hmm. Not trying to do too much out there. They both defended well, but they were also doing things offensively that we hadn't seen from either of them in 3 weeks.
It's been a while.
I mean, since, you know.
It's been a long while.
They got a 4-game winning streak, and you're starting backcourts playing terribly.
Yeah.
It says a lot about the team overall and the other pieces that have stepped up, but those two guys, if they're just playing, look, you're not going to get that performance out of Tony Perkins every time. But if he's just not bad, even if he can play, his floor is average, and then he can have those games every once in a while, you got a hell of a player there.
Yeah.
Same thing with Ulis. Just play your role. Don't try to do too much, and you do that.
Mm-hmm.
We're not asking for the ton here, right? We're not asking for the world on your starting backcourt. Just be okay. And this Iowa team's got so many other weapons, they're going to be good. In a day where Rabracha didn't play well, Samford was good.
Foul trouble, though. Boy, there was a lot of fouls in that game, especially early in the basketball game.
Just was dragging.
It really was. Let him play.
So Murray goes to the bench with two fouls.
Yep.
And yet they opened up.
And you enter your Twitter account.
Just kept it short and simple.
Yep.
And Rabracha had the two fouls. And did Connor get a second late in the half, too?
No. No, somebody else did.
Yeah.
I
can't remember who it was, but yeah, somebody else.
It might have been Connor.
I think it was Connor. Goes to the bench, but got a couple minutes out of Mulvey. Desante Bowen still doesn't look ready.
No, but
it looks like he's got the pieces to become a good basketball player.
Well, there was one play that he just darted through the lane. He looked like he belonged.
Right. But then you see him on the other end of the floor, and he's lost defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can joke, of course, if it fits in well with Iowa, if he's lost defensively.
Well, except for Dix, who looks like he's really starting to figure this out.
Yes.
He is, isn't he?
So you're 15, 20 minutes a game now for Josh
Dix.
That's
good. Yeah, I think he's earned it.
Now the question becomes when Patrick comes back.
Which is Wednesday, by the way.
Well, there's been some pushback on that. So
why did Gary Dolphin put that out in the first place if he wasn't sure?
You wonder. And
or was
we know
he
the relationship
sure?
with Dolphin the McCaffreys has not always been the best.
That's a good point.
Was it something that wasn't ready for consumption and Dolph just ran with it, understanding this was supposed to be under wraps?
If that's the case, that's not good.
Right. Or, hey, he was, but we wanted to let Patrick announce it in his way, whatever it is. I mean,
that's bad on Dolph if that's what happened.
So I was listening to the post game when I heard that, and then I did my instant reaction podcast afterwards. So that was
McCaffrey a part of it? I mean, was Fran a part of the
no? He just said, and Patrick McCaffrey will be back on Wednesday,
just out of the blue,
yeah,
unprompted
in the post game. Yeah, just talking about coming up next. Got Northwestern coming to town and the return.
Well, because we saw him on the floor before anybody was in Carver getting shots up.
Yep.
Might have been Caker. One of the media members, I think, tweeted a picture.
So, yeah, in the post game, Dolph mentioned that Patrick McCaffrey would be back in uniform on Wednesday. Iowa then sent out a release saying no decision has been made on that front. Not a good look again.
No, it's not. And especially when you consider the... Is history the right term between the the past? Let's put it, we'll call it the past. Between the
McCaffrey. There's stuff there.
There's stuff there, there's yes.
There's stuff there. And yet, once again, as this Dolph not knowing.
No. I don't think that he wouldn't have. No, there's nothing in my mind.
He wouldn't have guessed about that.
No. There's nothing in my mind that says that there was an ulterior motive here. Anyway, so let's talk football. And let's start with. I don't want to go there. Let's start with Brock Purdy.
Okay.
Because I don't want to talk about the Chargers just yet. I should feel so bad for their fan base and for the people.
They don't have a fan base.
Well, there's a few of them. JT the Nut's a big fan. Oh,
okay.
Charger
so
fan.
One guy you know on Twitter.
Well, no, there's more than one guy, but I mean.
Not many.
This franchise, here we are, we're talking about him. Let's start with Brock Purdy, who I thought for the first time in his NFL career. Looked like he had a little bit of stage fright.
Early on, yeah.
Early in the game.
There
he
were
was missing
throws.
Guys.
Yes.
He's got errant throws. He got lucky a couple of times. I get it. Every NFL quarterback gets lucky during a game. The ball wasn't picked. That's true. But I just thought for the first time you're starting to see, okay, there's the rookie that most that we see, you know, 99% of all the other rookie quarterbacks look like. And then the second half comes and he just turned it around. I don't know if there was Shanahan calling plays that would get him going, which wouldn't be a surprise to me at all because he's that good of a coach. But what a difference in Purdy's.
We saw early in the game, you could really see the rainfall too. Did it dissipate?
It did, yes.
So is it as simple as that?
Yeah, maybe.
You know, he's not a big guy, probably not. All kinds of weather are always different. Did he have the right glove? All those different things because you're right. Early on, he looked bad.
For the first time as a pro.
Yes. It wasn't just missed a couple. He was missing badly on a couple of throws. So I wondered if the rain maybe is a component that led to that or adjusting to whatever it was. Hey, I got to go to a different cleat. Whatever it may be. I wonder if that played a piece of it because that guy early in the game and Seattle just kept coming and it's tied at the half.
Well, gifted a field goal at the end of it by a boneheaded play. I mean, my God.
And if you played that parlay, 49ers to win the first half, 49ers overall to win, as I might have. Yeah, that was a stinger to see that. And just, what was he doing?
I don't know. Quarterback slides, you got to stay away from them.
And we have these kind of plays that happen all the time. Just those boneheaded plays that happen cost a field goal. And ultimately, the 49ers did 49er things.
Purdy's numbers, and we both thought he was subpar in the first half. 18 to 30, 332, three touchdowns, no picks.
Who is the best quarterback? Playing the best. Quarterback in the NFC right now.
In the NFC, which quarterback is playing the best right now?
Right now.
It's easy. And we saw him to the north of us. It's Danny Dimes.
That's my thought exactly.
And it's not even...
And if you would have told me that...
Can we talk about this tomorrow? Because we don't know how Prescott and Brady are going to play.
Right.
But Daniel Jones, your point, was phenomenal. Yes. It was his best game as a pro.
And Dak has not been playing well.
No, he hasn't.
Going into it tonight.
Nope.
Brady has thrown it a lot, but we know until the fourth quarter really has not been very
Daniel
good.
Jones is the answer to the question. And I think they're going to give the Eagles all they want. And
I'm
number
right
seven.
There with you. Seven?
Seven. Whew. Boy, if it gets up a tick higher. Look, don't take your advice from me, folks. I'm 0 for the last 2 weeks.
Again?
A blank. A perfecto again.
Oh, no.
I didn't hit a single game.
Did you hit anything under the Bet Rivers contest?
Not a single game.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Got to go back to the drawing board. Get that thing figured out.
Well, yeah, I have. I got to go back to the change in the rules so futures can be a part of it because I got the Super Bowl surrounded.
Oh,
Chargers or no Chargers.
That one was a devastating
Trent,
one.
Trent, that's an awful. That's just awful that this team is snake bit like this. But you're right, they are. They absolutely are. How do you blow that lead? How do you blow that lead? Run the football for crying out loud.
Ran it seven times in the second half.
Ridiculous.
You're up 27-0. At the half, what was it?
27-7.
27-7. And he run the football seven on the road seven times. I understand you got that shiny object over there in Justin Herbert, and you want to take him for a spin every single time. It's the organization.
It is.
There is something about those uniforms and the way that it's put together that it just doesn't work.
And you knew when Dicker the Kicker was trotting onto the field for his final attempt of the year, there's no shot he's making this.
Yeah.
It's just going the wrong way. So I hedged. I made a live bet on Jacksonville.
What'd you get him at?
I got him at 12-1, which wasn't enough, but it was all I could get at the time. So I thought I better get something to get some of my money back because I could tell the way it was going because I was all so invested in this Chargers. One of these years they're going to win it. So is Gonzaga, by the way.
you got a ticket again this year.
Yeah, I do. But this just Chargers team, for you go back to the final week of the regular season, absolutely meaningless. Mike Williams hurt, broken back. Awful. Justin Herbert, this team, Chargers, had five turnovers. No, I mean advantage.
Yes, plus five.
Plus five in the turnover battle and lost the football game.
And a 27-point lead.
And a 27-point lead and lost the football game.
To the Jacksonville Jaguars. Not to, this is not Houston.
No, this is a team
at Arrowhead up 24-0.
Right, right. A team that, you know, you could expect that this is the championship mentality. Mm-hmm. You got to, you know, kill them before you move on. You can't let them hang around. This is Jacksonville we're talking about here. And still, I feel terrible for the organization. Do you have to fire Staley? Because I don't know if they will.
Only if you can get Sean Payton.
That's the only way.
Is there
anybody
else?
And then do you beg Staley to stay on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, you try.
He won't.
It's going to be a tough sell to do that.
He wouldn't, I don't think, but
and
I agree.
Does Sean Payton want him?
Well, he should, and he probably doesn't.
Yeah.
Well, Dennis Allen, this guy, he's coming back to the Saints for another year.
That seems like a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Or is there something already brewing there?
I don't know.
With Payton maybe going back. Well, whoever the coach is, if you do make a move, that is a ready-made situation, though. It's just about changing culture, changing.
Yep.
And that DNA, I always think back when we're talking about these snake-bitten teams and the Red Sox during the turn of the century.
Yeah, yeah.
And so many times, and it was a truth until it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But that feeling inside the stadium, and we love October baseball, obviously, and it just always felt so different inside of Fenway. It was the fan base, and that has to feed, doesn't it? There's got to be some ounce of...
Yes.
Where those guys feel that pressure, where that seeps
you know who felt
in.
The pressure, too? You know the biggest goat? I think the guy that cost the Chargers as much as anybody cost the... Joey Bosa cost the team that game.
Oh, yeah.
Joey Bosa, when he lined up offside, maybe it was only an inch or two, right? But the flag came out, and to have to... They had Lawrence sacked back to the 40-yard line. What a difference that would have made. Instead of, and I think it was would have brought up fourth down, wouldn't have? It was either going to be third or fourth down with, I don't know, 30 to go. And for them to take that call off the board, and it's a penalty, and to give Jacksonville a new life, and they capitalized, they scored a touchdown, but they had a perfect blitz called. Lawrence didn't see it coming. He just kept backpedaling. Joey Bosa, the helmet slam twice.
Yeah.
It's just egregious. Lipping off at the official and getting an unsportsmanlike. Were you held? Probably. But you know what? On every play, you can find holding if you look close enough. Joey Bosa, my good God, that was a disaster out of him this week. And the whole franchise. You want to finish up the other games from yesterday? Because I thought Skylar Thompson was terrific.
Well, and speaking of awful, it looked like it was 21-0. They take the touchdown off the board. Mm-hmm. It's 17-0 instead.
And it was the right call on the... who was the tight end caught the football? Yeah, the tight end caught the ball.
Yeah, Dawson Knox.
Dawson Knox, yeah.
Looked like he had a second touchdown. Mm-hmm. Instead, they take it off. And
it was bang-bang. It was close.
But it's 17-0.
Right.
All right, well, get this game over with. And that didn't turn out to be the case, as it ended up going, 4 hours long? For a regular season NFL game. That just
kept pushing
happen.
The Vikings back.
They kept trying and trying and finally said, well, we got to start it up.
Right.
And they did. But it, I couldn't have been more surprised. And I still watching the game, I don't know how. Yeah, Thompson was better. It wasn't great. The drop passes all over the
there
place.
There was way too many. I mean, especially early in the game.
Waddle. Yes.
Hill. Both of these guys. Waddle was behind all of the coverage and just dropped it.
Yeah. Does this say more about Buffalo and kind of that concern that we had about this team? That they're just still...
You can't feel good about the way this team is playing. They're a different team since Von Miller can't get after the quarterback.
We're talking about what, 2 months now?
Well, this since is, Thanksgiving weekend is when he went out, so it's almost been.
And they weren't playing that great going into Thanksgiving either. I think it's been about 2 months where they're still good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the team that we saw in September.
Not no, uh-uh.
This
no,
is a not by different a long conversation.
Shot. Not by a long shot.
If you believe there is a gap, it is the slightest of gaps between them and everybody else. And I don't think there's a gap there.
I think they're looking up at both Cincinnati and Kansas City right now.
And we can get Cincinnati right now at plus four, even a 4.5 or two out there with the Bengals. I think I know already where I'm going to be playing this week.
Jeff, then we'll take a break. Scott Dockerman will join us from The Athletic. We'll get back into the Hawkeye situation. Jeff, welcome to the program. How are you?
Doing well. A couple quick shout-outs. I don't know if you guys caught this on Twitter, but that bozo that's a 1.4 million Chargers at halftime to win 11,000
at DraftKings, right? DraftKings.
What? I don't care if you're a millionaire. He's got to have friends around him that's saying that's a bozo bet.
Jeff, here's a little piece of advice to everybody that's out there listening: never bet a lot to make a little. Never.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Number two, Lamar Jackson not traveling with the team. That's, as a teammate, that is selfish.
Good. Yeah, I thought the same thing.
I don't know what's going on there, but, you know, if they franchise tag him or not. And another piece, I don't know if you guys have touched on it, his mom being his agent is terrible.
Yeah.
Get an agent, get somebody around you that's going to have your back. So you're not in the meetings, or you're not hearing it from your mom. Get an agent, okay? Number three, the Hawks last night. Again, it's amazing when, I don't know, Chris doesn't shoot that good from the three-point line. He gets in foul trouble. Mm-hmm. You guys have touched on them getting in foul trouble. But they're winning in different ways. They're buying in to the defense. And this is what I talked about a month ago. When everybody plays their role and stay in their lane and get minutes from people we weren't expecting to get minutes from, or stepping up in a couple key possessions, this is a team that, again, I don't want to jump off the deep end. This is a team that can go far in March, because they push the basketball in transition. They get easy buckets. They can score from a lot of places. And they had a great first-round talent. They can go far in March. It's exciting to get on a roll, Trent. Get on board. Get on the bus. And be an exciting fan, because I really believe in this team. So you guys have a good day.
Thank you, Jeff. I think there's a lot of folks out there hoping you're 100% right on this. Hey, real quick, back on the Baltimore game. I meant to get to this at some point. Melissa Stark's interview with John Harbaugh. Did you see it?
I didn't know.
I thought, to his credit, I mean, her first or second question, Hundley had just thrown a pick.
Mm-hmm.
And this is early in the football game. Are you thinking about making, what's it going to take for you to make a change at quarterback? Oh. And you could see, you could almost see the gears going in. You really just asked me that?
Wow.
Well, we think we'll just let the game play out a little bit. But she asked two questions, both of which were kind of...
couple of cringes?
Yeah, I thought they were both cringe-worthy. Now, if they were... I'm not saying that the first one was... I just thought that was kind of a little inappropriate.
Yeah.
I mean, for a sideline reporter to be willing to go there, and I guess, you know, you want to get some, instead of just a cookie cutter answer, which is what you normally get, you could just almost see the smoke coming out of his ears when Melissa Stark asked that question. Anyway, 11:30. Scott Dockerman next. More on the Hawkeyes. We'll get into the other two games at some point we didn't touch on. Yes, Vikings and the Giants, and Cincinnati and the Ravens from last night. We got Mr. Monday Night coming up today about 12:50 or thereabouts. It's Des Moines Sports Station 106.3.com. Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Let's talk some Big Ten. Let's talk some Hawks with our friend Scott Dockerman. He covers the Big Ten and Iowa specifically for The Athletic. And he joins us. Doc, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. How are you, Scott Dockerman? Good vacation?
Oh, yeah. It was nice, as always. So, yeah. But I was itching to get back. You know, a lot of stuff going on while I was gone.
Well, and one part of your vacation, you actually sat in the stands at Carver. I thought that was pretty cool. That you're away from the press, you actually bought a ticket and sat in the stands.
Yeah, my wife has season tickets to the women's basketball team. She really enjoys going, and she asks me if I want to go. And a lot of times I'm like, well, it feels like work.
Right.
Yeah. So, but this time I was off and I had no excuses. So, it was a heck of a crowd though. I mean, it was like 12,400 plus people there, and I had to park out in the boondocks like everybody else.
You got to know how it feels a little bit to be on the other side, yeah. Right, Doc? Well, you got to see an incredible performance in that first quarter out of the women's team as they rolled over 100 overall for the game and, 35 in the first quarter, something like that, as they were on fire earlier in that game. On the men's side, lots of basketball talk. Of course, you're covering mostly football over there, but this four-game winning streak, we had this team dead and buried, no chance of getting out of it. What have you seen out of this squad and how they've been able to pull themselves out?
I think you're seeing more connectivity on offense and on defense. Before, they just didn't seem to be very connected. I hate using the word same word twice, but where the flow of the offense wasn't going real well. They didn't really work together that well. And it kind of came down to, after they lost, the three, I guess, Big Ten games, but really had that three-game losing streak, including the really bad one against Eastern Illinois, that they had to figure something out or it was just going to really fall apart for them. And what I've seen is better ball movement, better execution on the offensive end, and probably on the defensive end, they seem to be more in tune as well. And it's showing. I mean, now they've won four in a row, and they look the part of being a very competitive team in the Big Ten. And that doesn't necessarily mean winning the Big Ten championship, but I think it means that they're not going to be an easy out any night. They're going to lose some games. Yep. They may even lose some this week, but I think right now they are truly in the mix for an NCAA tournament bid and another 20-win season.
Yep, it's certainly trending that way. Trending that way is Josh Dix, and what I mean by that he's going to be a contributor in his freshman campaign. When you go back, I mean the injury that he suffered, when he suffered it, and for him to be able to participate when they first started practicing again this fall, and now to be up to 16 minutes, and I'm not sure that those minutes are going to go down. I think he deserves them. He'll figure it out offensively. It's defensively that he's earning those minutes right now. I'm really impressed by Josh Dix. Your thoughts?
Yeah, me too. I mean, yesterday he had 5 assists and no turnovers, and that's really what it comes down to with somebody trying to figure out their role. And he is a quality offensive player. I mean, once he gets into the flow of things, he'll be really a knockdown shooter from the outside. So can he come in, play defense, move the ball without turning it over, do everything they ask him to do? And yes, he's absolutely doing that. And I think, he's missed all, he only took 2 shots. He missed them both, but he was part of the offense and why he was executing that way. And I agree. He needs to stay in the rotation at this point because, to get almost 16 minutes, I think is big time. The player that I think there's maybe some concern about, and rightly so, might be more DeSante Bowen. Most people thought he would come in, maybe step into that point guard role right away. And he's kind of been, up and down, I think, throughout his freshman year. That doesn't mean he's going to be a bad player or anything. It's just sometimes you get the freshman blues. But I think Josh Dix is proving himself as a quality player. And it's really a great comeback story. As you said, it was such a gruesome injury last year. To even come back, I figured, okay, they're just going to wait a year on this guy. But he was able to come back and play, and now play a real contributing role. I think it says a lot for this team.
No doubt about it. And this team looking like at least minimum, maybe an NCAA tournament team again, which just 3 weeks ago thought that was an impossibility. And yet here we are. Doc, over the football side of things, and as we mentioned, you were away on vacation last week. You were away from work, and we're waiting. We heard Chad Lystico and Tom Cakert say, maybe we're going to have a press conference last week. Didn't come to fruition.
Waiting for Doc to get back.
That's it, right. As simple as that, right, Doc?
Yeah, it is. I put my big mouth out there and said, hey, why don't you wait till I come back for vacation? There's going to be one. Kirk's going to kind of revisit everything. I was expecting it not to happen last week because I think they're going to wait till, classes started and players were enrolled because a lot of the with the transfer situation that they could be committed. And we've seen that. We even saw that with one of the players that they have, that as long as they are not enrolled in classes and taking classes, they can leave any time. In fact, both offensive line prospects Iowa really wanted, Daywon Parker, who came here, he was committed to Virginia and ended up decommitting and coming to Iowa. And then the other one, Walter Rouse, we saw
what a story.
To Nebraska and then went right to Oklahoma within a day or two. So anything was happened. So I could understand Kirk not, you know, he's not really able to really talk about him until they end up on campus and sign, you know. So I could understand why it's, you know, but I would hope that maybe this week or even next that he kind of discusses the team. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if they also wait till the second signing day as well.
Have you seen the portal statistics, Doc, as far as where we're at? Did Max Olson tweet that out, perhaps? I mean, it's not empty, right? You can still, if there's still some needs on your roster, there's potentially that player still out there.
Yeah, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me directly, but yeah, Max did put them all out. There are a significant number still in the portal, and that's just Power 5 numbers. So across the board, there are still hundreds of players that have not picked their destination, which I think is concerning not only from a football perspective, but from an academic perspective, because so many of these schools, like Iowa starts classes tomorrow, and as do a lot of other schools, and that to me is problematic. I think you'd want to be in place by now so you can move to your location and start enrolling in your classes. So I think that this is going to be a really troubling time for a lot of athletes who are probably pretty worried about where they're going to go here in the next week or two.
It was overall this transfer portal window to this point. They're still going to be shopping, still looking for more. How would you grade it? What kind of grade would you give Iowa here in the portal?
I would give them at a minimum a B, because this week I'm working with Mitch Olson, and Mitch Sherman. You talked about Max, Mitch Sherman, and I'm going over. I have every single Big Ten team and who's done what, and I was really in the upper third of the Big Ten, and as far as who they've signed, the importance of those signings, and their contribution level right away. I mean, Wisconsin is wow to everybody by the numbers. But, you know, they've got three quarterbacks. One's going to play. You know, they've got four receivers. Two, maybe three are going to play. So they've kind of overdid it in certain spots, but I think they're all going to be, you know, impactful at their position group. But I think with Iowa, Cade McNamara, they needed a starting quarterback. They got one. They needed a backup. They got one of those, too. They needed a wide receiver. They picked one up. They got a tight end who's going to be one of the better ones in the country. And then finally, they got a small school offensive tackle who probably will be plug and play. So I think overall that you've got to look at that positively. They did miss on some prospects, which I think are issues for them, but I would put, you know, Iowa right below Michigan and Wisconsin as far as quality and filling your needs. So I think overall it was a pretty good move for the Hawkeyes in the portal.
From The Athletic, Doc, Kevin Warren is off to the Bears. So, two-part question. How will you remember Kevin Warren's time as the commissioner of the Big Ten? And then have you given any thought to potential replacements for Warren?
Yeah, I have a little bit on both. And I would say, number one, he started off at such a net minus during the COVID era that it was really hard for him to dig out of that hole. And so at this point, you kind of look at, you know, when you're looking at him, it's almost multi-layered. And one is he was able to get a very lucrative job, you know, or lucrative TV contract, media rights contract, but he had help in the room. I mean, he had the Fox reps in the room with him the whole step of the way. The USC-UCLA additions are big. Major league impactful, but also, you know, he had a little help there as well. I would say the COVID era was a minus for him. So it was a really important time that he was here. I think it remains to be seen how everything is shaped before you can kind of finalize his legacy. But I think it wasn't like he was just presiding and things just, you know, happened business as usual. But then as far as who could replace him, you know, Jim Phillips was the guy I think everybody expected would get the job, and that was really a surprise. I would expect him to be, you know, considered strongly. I think Jennifer Heppel, who was worked for the Big Ten a couple of times, she's at the Patriot League now. I think she would be one. And then kind of an internal candidate that has been nothing but professional and done a remarkable job in his role is Kerry Kenny, who's about 40 years old. He's the senior vice president for external relations and multimedia, and he was one of four people involved in every single conversation regarding the media rights relationships and as well as some of the expansion talk. I would expect him to be considered strongly, and if he's not going to be a commissioner of the Big Ten this time around, he will be a commissioner for somebody somewhere soon. So those are the three that really jump out at me. But as we know, this is such an impactful time with so many different things with NIL and player rights and safety. I think this is something that you cannot afford to whiff when this thing comes about.
Spring football, I know it's not officially on the calendar, likely wrapping up either the 15th or the 22nd of April with that game. That's at least what most teams in the Midwest are doing that I've seen scheduled at this point. Doc, spring football, McNamara initially, well, not going to be ready. What are you hearing on that front? You know, how much is he going to be able to do? We're still a couple months away from actually having to do it, but what do you anticipate? What kind of work is he going to be able to do throughout the spring?
I didn't check up too much, Trent, last week while I was off on him, but I would say that, you know, the likelihood is he'll probably be able to throw, whether it's 7-on-7 or just on the side. I'm sure that's going to be the case. Whether or not he's, you know, fully taken snaps with the team and, you know, team drills, I think that remains to be seen, how much everything heals. And I don't even know that they know that answer yet, you know, because they usually start practice, you know, right after spring break, and then they go 5 weeks, three practices a week over five. And so it's going to be, I'm sure he's going to be working with them. It's just a matter of how much will they even risk having him hand the ball off when you got that kind of defense across from him. You know, that remains to be seen. But I'm sure he will be working pass routes and other concepts with the receivers. No question.
Anything you got at the Athletic, Doc, you'd like to promote coming up this week?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things. One is tomorrow I'm writing about, the transfer portal additions that Iowa has and how they fit and what they might be able to do there and whether or not it was a success or a failure. And then later this week, as I mentioned with Mitch Sherman, we're going to have a roundtable discussion and where we go over every single team in the Big Ten and how they performed in the portal. And I think there's some pluses, some minuses, and then there's a lot of status quo. So it's really a fascinating look just at first blush.
And as subscribers, both Trent and I look forward to reading both of those pieces. Doc, we'll talk to you next Monday. Thanks for doing this, Doc. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Scott Docterman, as we check in on the Big Ten and on Iowa.
And if you are a subscriber to The Athletic or want to get a subscription, not just if you're a Hawkeye fan, if you're a Bears, a Vikings,
you're a sports fan,
whatever team that you follow, they have you covered there over at The Athletic on the professional side. And it's not, you just get one team subscription or anything like that.
Oh, no.
You read all the articles.
Yep.
You're interested in the way that Carlos Correa signing went down. Well, of course, I'm a little more interested than most, but really, really good story. Dan Hayes and one of the national guys put that together and just how it all came together. They do so much of that work, though. If you're a sports fan and you miss your newspaper, this is the place to get it.
Indeed. Or if you're a fan of the team with the best record in the Western Conference of the National Hockey League.
Colorado Avalanche?
No.
Calgary?
No.
Anaheim's not.
Now, you're in the right country. Just a couple of provinces east.
So not Vancouver. I'm not going that
way. No, you're going the wrong way.
Oh, Toronto?
And there is no team in Saskatchewan.
Oh, yeah.
Now back up a little bit. A little bit west.
Oh, yeah, Ottawa.
You're going the wrong way.
Oh.
It's those Winnipeg Jets that lead the Western Conference, and it's the middle of January, and I'm tickled pink. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
100 bets off. Now back to Miller and Condon on 106.3 KXNO. Here's Ken and Trent.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. I wanted to finish up our NFL discussion, but I'm not sure 2 minutes is fair when it comes to talking Giants and the Vikings.
Wow.
I mean, season on the line, 4th and 8.
Mm-hmm.
Let's throw 3 yards to a tight end.
Thought he had his matchup beat. I just can't do that.
He didn't. Look at Hawkinson had a phenomenal day.
He was terrific
yesterday.
No doubt.
But you have all these guys running down the field, past the line to gain, and you throw a 3-yard pass. Look, Kirk Cousins had good numbers yesterday.
He was fine.
But it's just that they're seemingly, once a game, you can look at the, is this the guy that's going to lead this team? And you just, you don't know. I think the team's going to have a ton of very difficult decisions this offseason. Dalvin Cook, Kendricks, Harrison Smith, guys that have seemingly been there a long time.
The salary cap situation's not great. A lot of decisions that need to be made, and then you couple it with...
Thielen's there, another, Adam Thielen.
Yeah. A division that, well, the Bears eventually got to be better, you would think.
The Lions are.
The Lions are there.
Uh-huh.
And Green Bay...
seemingly is descending.
But even with that, it's a competent organization, right?
It has been, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but they've had a quarterback for the last three decades.
But they've also filled in the margins pretty well and been able to build a team.
Point.
So
fair point.
Organizationally, you have to look at them and say they're competent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they're going to have a run of 5 years where they're going 4-13. Mm-hmm. You just don't anticipate that with that organization.
Ed Donatell's got to be gone.
Oh, yes, he does. Did you see that picture of O'Connell looking over at him?
And no, I didn't see it.
Kind of looking at his defensive sheet. You could feel the disappointment or the hatred coming off, saying, can't you figure this thing out for us? Come on. Ooh, that was rough.
It was, look, it caught up with him yesterday, right? They won a lot of close football games. They were in that one yesterday at the end, but 4th and 3. Would you have gone for 2? Do you think O'Connell would have gone for 2 had they tied it?
I don't think so. You?
Well, they weren't stopping Danny Dimes and company. Saquon Barkley was out of his mind yesterday. Maybe more so catching the ball than running the ball. He was just good. Barkley. Hour 2 coming up.